JMI Wealth, Andrew Kelleher, good morning.
Yeah, morning, Mike.
Chinese property market coming back to haunt us yet again.
Oh, my gosh. Remember Evergrande?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, remember that? We talked about it relatively regularly in, towards the end of 2021 as the Chinese property developer giant stumbled its way through various financial difficulties, ended up defaulting on loans and sparked fears of contagion through the Chinese property market. Well, Evergrande's gone a bit quiet. The Chinese authorities managed that issue. But now there's another storm brewing, Mike, in the Chinese property sector. And it's important to realise just how huge the Chinese property market is. I saw a graphic the other day which described it as one of the largest asset classes in the world. Now, what we have in China right now, Mike, is a mortgage boycott. So in mid-July, there was this sort of groundswell against amongst property purchases, revealed, as is the norm these days, through social media. And it would appear to be a product of home purchases that are part of this prepay model that they have over there. So you pay the money, you start paying the mortgage, but the apartment in this case hasn't actually been finished. It's not actually been built. And now we're seeing more and more property developers are actually unable to deliver the final product or on these pre-sold properties. So this groundswell of people are now refusing to pay the mortgages. And apparently this boycott has now spread. And according to us, I was reading a report just now in the South China Morning Post that you're now seeing action against 100 unfinished projects across 19 provinces. So look, these problems are not new in this pre-sold property market. They do go back years. But I suppose it's the potential scale of this that's putting a much different spin on the current situation. But what you've got to try and do is you've got to try and sort of figure out what is the scale of the problem. And that this is sort of very hard to get down, to get a sort of handle on. Goldman Sachs have put a number of approximately $150 billion worth of mortgage loans could be at risk. But I've read other reports, Mike, in the last day or two that suggest the number is far lower and very controllable. So we're a little bit short of facts here, but we need to keep an eye on it. The property sector, as I said, big part of Chinese economic growth. We have a significant trading relationship with China. Lower growth there potentially equals lower demand for our products, and obviously the contagion risk through Chinese banking system. So we'll keep an eye on it. Fun and games,
as ever. We're already running a deficit, for goodness sake. Now, the Fed this week, of course, the American, all the big players are in play.
Yeah, so it's a key week for earnings. And yesterday we highlighted challenges for online advertising. We talked about Snap, we talked about Twitter. But this week, as well as the Fed, which will impact on the thing I want to talk about in a second, you've also got 174 companies in the S&P 500 who are reporting, and it's a lot of the biggies. Coca-Cola, Apple, Microsoft, Amazon, Alphabet, I think, reports after the market close in a few hours. So lots of specific risk. But one of the issues that's come to fore over the course of the last week in what is a veritable potpourri of current issues for business is the stronger US dollar. Now, we've seen this manifest itself through our weaker New Zealand dollar. And we've had a look down towards 60 cents. We've spent very little time down here over the last 10 years. But if you look at the US dollar, Mike, on a trade-weighted basis, it's lurking around 20-year highs, so multi-decade highs. And what that strong US dollar does is it makes goods exported from the US less competitive overseas. And of course, it hurts those big companies reporting that foreign revenue back into US dollars. And I saw a number yesterday quoted of 40% of current S&P 500 revenue comes from outside of the US. The thing is, though, is I think that investors are going to be a little bit less judgmental on this factor, though, because it's not a demand problem, and that's the big issue for investors at the moment. They sort of want to keep an eye on whether or not there is slowing demand. Yeah. This is a slightly specific factor, but we'll see how the week pans out, won't we?
Lay some numbers on me.
Right now, the Dow Jones, it is down 15 points as we look at it now, 31,883, so down very small. The S&P 500 also down very small, down 7 points, 3,954, and the NASDAQ down 87 points, 11,746. Overnight, the FTSE 100 gained 30 points, that's about 0.4%, 7,306. The Nikkei lost 0.77%, closing at 27,000. 699. Shanghai Composite down 20 points, 3250. The ASX 200 pretty quiet yesterday, relatively unchanged, closed at 6789. We lost 0.57% on the NZX 50 yesterday, 65 points, closing at 11,198. On the currencies, one Kiwi dollar, 0.6266 against the US, 0.9007 against the Aussie, 0.6133 euro, 0.52 against the pound, 85.66 against the Japanese yen, gold $1,719.45, and Brent crude just a touch stronger, $104.52.
You have a good one, mate. Catch up tomorrow. Andrew Kelleher, jmiwealth.co.nz. Hosking.